Man, I want to look at some things. I want you to turn where Robbie was at in Ephesians chapter 1. And Ephesians chapter 1. And notice some things about this glory. I want you to notice in verse 6. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. When I read that verse, I immediately think about He hath made. We didn't make ourselves. We had nothing to do with our salvation. We cannot make ourselves accepted in the beloved. God does that. He says in chapter 2 of Ephesians, if you'll notice in chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Your salvation is not of yourselves. But look what he said, it is the gift of God, not of works. Not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. That word boast there is also is glory. A lot of the words in the Bible, when it talks about glory, they're talking about boasting. Paul said, we glory in the cross of Christ. When he says we glory in the cross of Christ, he's talking about that's what we boast about. That's what we brag about. That's what we, our center of attention ought to be as far as our salvation. Not of works. If you are accepted in the beloved today, if you are saved by God's grace, and when I talk about being saved, I'm talking about being saved from God's wrath. I'm not just talking about the lake of fire. And certainly the lake of fire is a part of the wrath of Almighty God. But I'm talking about being saved from all His wrath. When I talk about you are saved, I'm saying to you that God will never, ever be angry with you again. He hath made, not we ourselves, but He hath made us accepted in the beloved. God can accept you in Jesus Christ. He cannot accept you in your own flesh. You cannot get good enough for God to accept you. Your sins. You are a sinner. The Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You might live to be 100 years old on this planet. But there is a day coming, the Lord doesn't come back. There is a day coming when you, as a human being, will die. Your heart will stop beating. Your breath will leave your body. It is appointed unto man once to die. But after this, after that death, judgment. There is a place, there is a time that you as a human being will stand before God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. People say hell is on this earth. Many people have took their own lives thinking, I'll get out of this mess. And they end up in a bigger mess. They end up in eternity without God, without Jesus Christ. Oh, my soul, listen to me today. If you're sitting here today and you're thinking that all of this is nonsense, you're thinking, I don't need God. I don't need the Lord. Let me tell you right now, you do need Him as an individual, as a person. Your life just didn't evolve. God Almighty letting you come into this world. You were born of a woman, and you will die as a person, but your soul will never die. Your soul was created in you. Your soul someday will stand before its Creator. And then, what will you answer God? Then, what will you say? The world down here snickers at God. The world down here makes fun of the Lord. They make fun of the Bible. They mock at Him. Fools make a mock at sin. Only a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You're sitting here today and you're saying there is no God. You're sitting here today. You're not afraid of eternity. I submit unto you. You are a fool in the eyes of God. The glory of God you cannot obtain to in your own self. Now let me show all. We are the reflection. This glory is going to be the reflection of His glory. Just as the moon's glory is a reflection of the sun's glory. Just as the stars and the planets, they shine bright. You can stand on this planet and look at other planets and you see the brightness of them. They're reflections of a light. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And someday we'll be the reflections of that glory. Now notice this thing about it. What is this glory? Look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, notice what he says. In verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then this glory, we have a hope of this glory. So what is that hope? What we are expecting? Someday, a pie in the sky? No. We're not expecting that. People that die in the Lord, they just don't go floating around somewhere. They have a place. What is the glory that God has promised the believers? He said the riches of this glory, of this mystery, the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, is Christ in you. But that's not Christ in you, is not the hope of glory. What is the hope of glory for the believer? Well, look at this thing. Turn to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1, I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse 13, Let me just go back and read verse 11. For the grace of God, that unmerited favor that God is showing to you today, God Almighty is showing you favor today. Notice what he said. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now look at verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The blessed hope is not the appearing of our God, our Savior Jesus Christ. There's two things in that passage. We're looking for the appearing of our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and when He does appear, then that hope that we're expecting, looking for, the blessed hope, will be there too. Look back in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, notice what He said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now watch verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. That's what Titus is talking about. Looking for that blessed hope is the glory of Colossians chapter 4. And when are we going to appear with Him in glory? Is when He appears the coming of the Lord. It's when He comes back. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior. So when Jesus Christ comes someday in the future for the body of Christ, whom He is creating today, then we, the body of Christ, will appear with Him in glory. Now, glory is not a place. People say, well, Mom and Dad, they've gone to glory. No, they're not gone to glory. Glory is not a place. Glory is a condition. Glory has to do with brightness. Glory has to do with splendor. When God, Moses said to the Lord, show me thy glory. What was He saying? Well, the word glory is lustra. It's brightness. It's splendor, it's honor, it's praise, it's fame, renown. It's all that God is, that's His glory. Let me show you something about that glory. Turn to 1 Timothy and look in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15. He said, which in His times, a reference to the Lord back in verse 14, the last sentence of verse 14, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. We done went over that. He's going to appear someday. And He's going to appear, and when He comes, the first appearing is for the bride. The second coming, He's coming in wrath. Now, people can talk about the babe in the manger, but they don't talk about that line that comes out of the tribe of Judah at the second coming. They say, well, God's a God of love. He is, and He demonstrated His love. He showed this world how much He loved them by delivering His only begotten Son and turning Him over to the hands of the Gentiles, and where they spit on Him and beat Him and nailed Him to a cross, and He died for your sins on that cross and took your punishment. That's how much He loved you. But you reject that and you'll face Him in wrath. And when He comes back, the Bill Maher's won't be mocking at Him. You know where they'll be? The Hollywood crowd that makes fun of Him. The liberals that make fun of Him. The atheists that make fun of Him. This world that makes fun of Him. I'll tell you where they'll be. They'll be trying to crawl under a rock somewhere or in some hole in a cave because of the fierce wrath of Almighty God. That's where they'll be. They won't be joking about him. They won't be making fun of him. And just as sure as you're sitting in this congregation on a pew right now, just as sure as the sun's a-shining, that day will come. And it's fast approaching. But look what he said, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he will show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality. Now watch it, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. God Almighty Son is dwelling in a light, in the light, which no man can approach unto. No man hath seen and can see. The Bible said that God the Father, God is light, and in him is no darkness. Turn back to John chapter 1. In John, the Gospel of John chapter 1. John chapter 1 says, notice what he said in verse 1. John 1, that's that light. That's that glory. That's where Paul, the last man on the earth, saw the Lord in his glory, and it burned his eyes, and he was blind for 3 days. He fell down on the earth. He said that he was brighter than the noonday sun. That's bright. That's our glory. Notice what it says in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Verse 7, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. I mean, folks, he came. Verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Jesus Christ, the glory as of the only begotten Son, only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. While folks turn to look over in John chapter 17, in John chapter 17, notice what he says in verse 3. And this is the life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, God, the glory. The glory. In the fourth day, God said, let there be light. But before you find that, the sun is created. But before then, there's light. That's God's light. And Paul describes it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of the Father. Folks, I want to tell you something. The glory that Jesus Christ had with the Father, that's the glory that someday every member of the body of Christ will share and be a reflection of that glory. Folks, our hope is the hope of glory. That hope has to do with glory. Now look at it. What is it? Turn back with me and let's try two passages. Look back in 2 Timothy, and notice Paul before he's going to die. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, notice what he said in verse 6. 2 Timothy, the last words he writes before he gets his head cut off. I wonder what we could write. You look out there and see your chopping block. Sit down and write a book to a trusted brother in Christ, a co-laborer. Wonder what we'd be saying. Lord, pray. Pray for a miracle. Pray that something happened. Pray that the axe handle break. Pray that I'd get out of here. Pray this. Oh, Lord, pray. Oh, help me. Look what this man of God prayed before he went to that place. He said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now watch it. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." There's that appearing again. A crown of righteousness. You know what that is? We have the righteousness of Christ imputed unto us. Hang on to 2 Timothy. Turn back to Romans and look in Romans. And notice in the book of Romans. And notice in Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4. Notice what he says in verse. I'm just going to jump in there. Verse 3. "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." It's counted. Notice what he says, and then verse 6, "also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth." Now that word imputeth is the same as counted. It's put to your account. Imputed the righteousness without works. Saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Put it to their account. Now the Lord either puts things to your account, he's either putting sin to your account, or he's putting righteousness to your account. That has to do with what you believe about Jesus Christ. His faith was counted for righteousness. In other words, we have the righteousness of God imputed to us, put to our account. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, on the cross in AD 33, and he's nailed between two thieves, he's counted with the transgressors. On that cross, God Almighty, and I've said this many times, I'm going to say here's the time that I was born. I was born of a woman in 1952. You don't have to try to figure it. I'm 60, will be 63 years old this month. No. April the 16th. Write it down. April the 16th, around sometime that morning, Mama said, I was born, and so somewhere I'm going to die. I mean, or the Lord's coming back. I hope the Lord will appear and take me out of here before that time, but it doesn't matter. I'm one of these days, I'm leaving the planet. All my sins from the time I was born was a result of a root, and that root was sin. Sin produces sin. Now sin is my old nature that I got from my mom and my daddy. I didn't ask for that old nature. It was there. It just comes with the territory, okay? I mean, if you're born of a man and woman, you have the nature of sin. That old man produces sin. Now, some old nature, the old man, produces more sins than others. And sometimes this old nature is more dominant in some people than others. You have people, and folks, a thief is not a thief because he steals. That doesn't make him a thief. He steals because he is a thief. You understand? We sin because we're sinners. The Bible said that evil thought is iniquity. That's how easy it is. That old nature. Everybody's got it. Now we talk about road rage. Y'all know about it. I mentioned about I retired. I go to Walmart. I have cart rage now. Everybody don't drive on the right side of the aisle. They come and want to hit me head on. And they just it come at you in all directions, and you think, my gosh, what's going on? Well, that's that old man. You ever been out there somewhere and you hit your hammer on your thumbnail with a hammer real hard, and do you immediately start singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound? Precious Memories? No. You know what that old man wants to do? I'm not going to repeat it. Me and June's been there a lot of times and go into the Walmart parking lot. You know, I think in the tribulation period, when hailstones is over 100 pounds, is falling on this world, people's going to still try to get to Walmart. But anyway, here we go. And we got a one picked out. This happened not long ago. I mean, we had the spot picked out. And all of a sudden, this comes in the wrong way and stops and turns around and gets the spot, and there we are. I didn't say hallelujah. That old man, that old nature. Now, it doesn't change when you get saved. It's still there to drag you down. People, religion, you know what religion wants to do? They want to clean up the old nature. They want to clean up the old man. Do you know what God does? He just creates a new man. When you trust Christ as your Savior, He creates in you a new man. And that new man has a desire to live for the one that died for him. That new man wants to serve the Lord, but this old man still there, still bothered you. Now, I know that's a little off the thing, but I want you to see, here I am. I'm born. I'm going to leave. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. So God Almighty put to the account all my sins in A.D. 33, all my sins from the time I'm on the planet was put to the count of the Lord Jesus Christ, and my sins put Him to the death. And you can fill in your blank. Did your sins put Him to death? And in return, He lived a perfect, righteous life on this earth. He kept the law that you could not keep. He lived a perfect life. He was born of a virgin. He never sinned. He never had no evil thought. He never had no gall come out of His mouth. He never done anything that was wrong. He kept the perfect law of Almighty God, and you can't keep it. You can't even keep the last commandment. You know what the last one is? Anybody here know? Don't flip to Exodus 20 now. Thou shalt not covet. Everybody in here covets something. And I know you can't keep the first. They come up to the Lord and said, what is the first and great commandment? And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. There ain't a person in here that loves God with all of his heart, mind, and strength. If you're married, men, your wife won't let you. And it's biblical. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul said, a man that's married, he's doing things to please his wife, which you should. Everything's got to be in my right. But all I'm letting you to see is he kept the law. He lived a perfect life. His righteousness was unspotted by sin. But yet he was tempted. So in 1971, I trusted Christ as my Savior, 19 years old, in a hotel room in Spruce Pine, North Carolina. About 11 o'clock on a Friday night, I'll never forget it. That night, I, for the first time, admitted to Him that I was a sinner. That night, I came to Him as a sinner and trusted what He did for me. And the Lord saved me that night. Now, you know what happened? He created a new man in me. And He sealed me with His Holy Spirit of promise. And I'm sealed until the day of redemption. Do you realize this new man is how I'm accepted in the beloved? God Almighty, His righteousness was put to my account. And I'm righteous today. When God looks at Brian Sipes, He doesn't see my unrighteousness. He sees the righteousness of His Son as though I lived a perfect life. Folks, you couldn't get it no better than that. I'm not struggling to be saved. I'm not trying to be saved. All the work was done by the Lord Jesus Christ. I just receive it. And you can too. God Almighty will save you where you're sitting right now if you'll simply believe He died for you and trust that as your salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe what? That He died for all of your sins from the time you were born to the time you leave this world. Jesus Christ died for them all. Every one of them. So, well, I'm too bad to get saved. You can't get too bad to get saved. The worst of the worst God saved was the Apostle Paul. He was a murderer. He was a blasphemer. He was injurious. He done despicable things. God saved him. This glory. Now look at this thing of righteousness. He said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That righteousness we have today. We have the imputed righteousness of Christ put to our account. But there is a day coming when that righteousness will no longer be imputed. There's a day of coming when that righteousness will be imparted. Now look at it. Turn with me and look in the crown of righteousness. People think that's a little hat that we're going to be wearing in eternity. Like Jug, wasn't it Jughead wore that little? Y'all remember that? If you're my age, you probably do. Some of the young people say, it's not a hat. Look what this thing, look at what the crown is. Before we go, if I turn over to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. In chapter 2, notice what he said about the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6 says, but in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visited him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hand. That crown, they crowned the Lord with glory and honor, and will be crowned as he was. He said it's a crown of righteousness. Turn back to Galatians chapter 5 and see what it is. In Galatians chapter 5, notice what he says. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 3, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. In other words, if you're trying to gain what God has already gained for you by keeping the law through the works of your flesh, you've fallen from His grace. He can't help you. You understand? People that are trying to get to heaven by their goodness, by keeping the golden rule, by going to church, by doing all the right things, by being a good neighbor, people that are trusting in their works are fallen from grace. How can a man get to heaven? By receiving what God did for him and being saved by His grace. Now look what he said. Verse 5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. There's that hope, the blessed hope. If someday I'm going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ in body, soul, spirit. Right now, I'm not like the Lord Jesus Christ in body. I have that old nature. last verse, and I'm going to let you turn to Philippians and look in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Philippians 3, 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. That's the glory. When we bear in the image of the old man now, the old Adam. We bear the image of the earthy in 1 Corinthians 15. But when the Lord comes, then we will be changed, and our vile body will be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Then we will have the glory that was given to the Lord. It will be our glory. And we'll shine and be a reflection of His glory of the Father in all eternity out there. And God, we will demonstrate the grace of Almighty God. Folks, if you're not saved today, why would you not want to be saved? Why would you want to take a chance and lose your soul? All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Say, well, I got to quit this, quit that, I got to turn from that. No, you don't. The Bible says, he that believeth on Him that raised up Jesus, that righteousness will be imputed, put to your account. Will you believe Him today? Will you, as a sinner, say, I believe that He died for me. I believe that God, He was buried, and I believe that God raised Him the third day. I'm trusting that as my salvation. Somebody say, how do you know I'm saved? I know I'm saved because He died for all of my sins. And I know that He shed His blood for me. I'm trusting that. You can leave out of here with eternal life. Why don't you do it today if you haven't? If you are saved, then folks, you got something to look forward to. One of these days, He's going to come. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Isn't it going to be wonderful to have a body like the Lord Jesus Christ? To be righteous in body, soul, and spirit. To think that He thinks we think, as He thinks we think. Say, well, we'll be just like robots. No, you'll be like Christ was on the earth. And we'll have all eternity out there to rule and reign with Him. Thank God for salvation. Now, that's it. I'm done.